Okay, well, here we are again in the book of Ruth. I love coming to the book of Ruth. It is probably the one book I can rest in the most because I don't necessarily feel like I have to go do anything when I'm done. It's just a time of being washed by what he's done for me. Last week, we spoke about the point in the story where Ruth realized that Boaz was paying attention to her, and that was a special kind of grace. He was comforting her, and he was speaking to her heart. She goes home and tells Naomi, and then Naomi begins to advise her about the whole idea of a kinsman redeemer. So let me review the story real quick, and I want to get to that part where Naomi begins to coach her daughter-in-law and to help her begin to understand what a kinsman redeemer really is. So Father, as we get into the word tonight, I ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. So, here's a quick review of the details that lead up to them returning to Israel. A Jewish woman named Naomi had left Bethlehem with her husband and sons during a famine. After a few short years, her husband's dead and both of her sons are dead. And so she returns to Israel with nothing but one daughter-in-law, and that daughter-in-law was Ruth. She tells everyone, I went out a delightful person, I've come back a bitter person because of the way the Lord has dealt with me. So the next phase of the story we talked about last week, and that's where Ruth is discovered by Boaz, and she talks about how Boaz has treated her, and after this, Naomi begins to coach her. She tells her that he's a kinsman redeemer. And what she does in this part sets us up for the rest of the story where indeed the right and responsibility of the kinsman redeemers reacted by Boaz to take Ruth to be his wife. So let's drop into the story immediately after where we left off last week. Ruth has just been awakened by Boaz's attention. She goes home and she gushes everything out to Naomi. And listen, here's the verse, chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to what Naomi says. Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living. The word kindness is the word hesed, and it's a special kind of love, and Naomi exalts God in this hesed that the Jews were very familiar with. Now remember, Ruth is a Moabitess, and she may not understand everything that's being said, but she says, you have found our kinsman redeemer. That is the word ga'al. Whether it's a redeemer or redemption or being redeemed, that's the root word. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about Boaz as the near kinsman or redeemer. It can be translated either way. And so probably Ruth had no idea what this idea of a kinsman redeemer was. I don't think we understand. She came out of this culture that did not have kinsman redeemers. I don't think we really know what a kinsman redeemer is. So when Christ comes to us as kinsman redeemer, I think we don't quite realize everything that that means. And so if you look it up in the theological word book of the Old Testament, there are four primary places, four primary ways in which this word is used. Number one, it's used to do the part of a kinsman and redeem his kin from difficulty or danger. The nearest kinsman was supposed to redeem you out of all kinds of difficulties. Second, that's the overall meaning. And here's the four particular ways that's done. First of all, a field that was sold in time of need could be redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. Secondly, and this is not really associated with the use of redemption. It's something else. It's talking about a different kind of redemption. It's the second one in the definition. If you look it up in the Theological Word Book, it's the first definition and the third and the fourth. Here's the third. The next of kin who is the avenger of blood. So the same person who is supposed to save you out of all of your dangers is also supposed to take vengeance on anyone who may have murdered you. By the Levitical law, they are supposed to find that person and execute them. And then there's the common usage where it's used of God, who is our Redeemer. So the best place, though, to understand this thing of kinsman redeemer, and the place that is most clearly seen, is in the book of Ruth. And it's exactly what Boaz does. He comes and he redeems. Okay? When Naomi speaks, she uses that word hesed. And we'll talk about it in just a second. Well, let's go ahead and define it right now. Generally, it means obligation to the community in relation to relatives, friends, master, and servants. Hesed is based on the relationship. It's translated loving kindness or mercy in the Bible, but it actually means to have this kind of attachment based on blood relationship. Lasting loyalty, faithfulness, kindness, grace, all within this context of this relationship, this familial relationship. Now, another word, covenant, is very similar, but it is based more not just in a relationship, but based also in a written document or a spoken agreement. So there's the hesed based in relationship. There's the covenant based in what's been spoken. Both come into play. Last week we talked more about the emotional attachment and the sense of being loved. But this week I want us to center on the fact that there was a law in their culture that said the next of kin had to redeem you out of your danger, out of your trouble. And I want us to end up realizing that God himself is our kinsman redeemer through our heavenly Boaz, Jesus. And in keeping with his word, in keeping with his law, he has come and redeemed us from the curse of the law. The whole Bible is the story of God's loving covenant with mankind. We call it the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is about this enduring relationship based in God's Word. We have got to understand that we, like Ruth, have a place in Israel because we have a kinsman redeemer who steps up to the plate and does exactly what the Father had promised would be done. So, as this Moabitess, Ruth, comes into this new land, this new culture that God's creating, she comes out of a culture that worshipped a different god. The god that they worshipped, we know from the Bible that one of the kings sacrificed a human being. So they had human sacrifice, not just kids, but adults as well. They would sacrifice. And we also know that, like the other gods and religions, that they practice all kinds of sexual deviance, fornication, prostitution, all as part of their worship. And so raised in that atmosphere where human life could be done away with on behalf of religion, where covenant relationship and marriage was not guarded, and where family was not protected. And now she comes, and Naomi says, "You found our kinsman redeemer." Well, Ruth is going to find out what a kinsman redeemer is very quickly. And so as we begin to look at this whole idea of God implementing a kinsman redeemer, it's very important that you understand that his word is creating a culture. It's creating a people that reflect heaven and eternity. And so as you think about this, I wrote down a few things you might want to think about. God is saying, because what's going to happen is when Boaz redeems the land, he's redeeming the land that belonged to Elimelech and needed to stay in the family so that the work of the family could continue. And so the first thing you're going to realize is that the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord, but he has given it to man. And so he divides it severally as he wills. God sees the earth and parts of it belong to different people. And God knows who those parts belong to. And once God gives it to you, it's yours. Number three, he wants you to pass that land down to your inheritors. The people who get inheritance from you should get your land. It should not have to be sold to pay off your debts, but it should be passed on to them. Living in a culture like this, then, we realize that it's very important for me to be responsible so that when I die, my brothers and my uncles don't have to come and redeem all of my lost possessions. But even more than that, it creates in me to be the kind of man where I see my brother in need, where he has fallen on hard times, that I am there and I am able to go and I am able to pull him out of that. So you begin to get an idea of God and how he sees our life and our existence in this earth. Can you imagine Ruth coming from a culture where more than likely widows were not taken care of? And when people went destitute, they would be sold into slavery. To come into a community where that is illegal, it's against the law. And quite the opposite is true. This community takes care of its own. And this community becomes a blessing out of our care for our own by giving to the others. So she was a Moabitess, raised in Moab. A person raised in that kind of perversion is broken, is wounded, is damaged, and they need to be healed. And that's by coming into a new community. Raised as an urchin, a street urchin, you act like a street urchin. Raised in the house of a king, you act like a king. You have the confidence that comes from knowing that you are safe in a culture where God himself has determined that his people will take care of each other and they will guard one another's possessions as though they were their own. I can't imagine when Boaz looked at Ruth and said, "I've told my young men not to touch you." She is a Moabitess. And this man is looking out for her. And then, in this country, you can glean the corners of the field and you don't have to pay the owner. But even more than that, this owner has told his men to drop little handfuls on purpose so that I can pick them up. It goes even further than that in this story. Eventually, even before they're married, even before it's a fact, Boaz says, "Here, open up your apron and let me fill it up with grain and you take that home so you and your mother-in-law will have something to eat." Imagine going from one culture where life was nothing to a culture where everyone respected life and they were joyous about another person and being able to bring another person into the inheritance that God had given them. That's who we are. That's the kingdom that we live in. And it all begins with our heavenly Boaz, Jesus. So, let's look. When they get married, over in chapter 4, look at what happens. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. This great landowner takes this little Moabitess woman and makes her his wife, but not only his wife, but they have a child. Amazing. Here she lived in a foreign country. Her husband had died, and she came destitute with her mother-in-law. Now she's been married in to the household of a wealthy householder. But not only was she married into it, but it was hers. She was bringing inheritance to her husband and to her father-in-law and to her mother-in-law. And that's where it switches. Now the story switches over and it shows the benefits of this redeemer to Naomi. And the women said unto Naomi, verse 14, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. Again, kinsman redeemer, Gaal, that his name may be famous in Israel. That his name may be famous in Israel. Naomi, God has been faithful, and he has provided with you what this culture is all about, a kinsman redeemer that redeemed you out of all of your trouble. And he shall be one who restores your life. Naomi had slowly started dying. But through Boaz and Ruth's marriage and that child, she actually turned around and began to walk back into a full life. And a nourisher of thine old age. That means that she didn't have to worry as she was getting older, that God was going to take care of her needs through the Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. For your daughter-in-law, which loves you, is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. So Naomi, because there was a redeemer who came, found her in the field, took her to himself, and made her fruitful. Now Naomi is able to see her inheritance, the inheritance of her husband in this child. So there's another place. Well, so let me just say this. Of course, you know that the application is going to be Jesus. And we're going to look at some New Testament scriptures in just a second. But just think about being destitute. Think about being abandoned. And someone comes along and they take you out of that place and they draw you next to them and they make you part of their life. In literature, there are so many stories where this happens. The Prince and the Pauper, so many of the Disney films you watch, it's a Cinderella story. But I don't want us to just get caught in that part of it. I want us to realize that there is a technical covenant with God that set up a culture where the people in that culture live out this whole idea of being faithful to one another. And that all begins with God being faithful, because in the end, what we see is that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one who has seen us in our trouble and has come and has nourished us, has turned us around, and rather than moving toward death, has caused us to move back into life, no matter where we are. There's another place that it talks about the Redeemer, kinsman Redeemer, in the Old Testament. There's several, but I wanted to look at this one in Job 19:25. This is a pretty famous verse. Job is rehearsing all of the difficulties, but he in the middle of it, he gives this line: I know that my Redeemer, I know that my near kinsman lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know that I have a Redeemer. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter if everyone is in chaos. I know that my Redeemer is going to come. He is alive. That I have a Redeemer. Just like Naomi said, God has not forgotten his kindness. He has shown his kindness to us by giving us a Redeemer that's going to get us out of this mess. We know. We know that whatever mess we're in, our Redeemer lives. And in the end, he is going to come and plant his feet on this earth. And every part that God has divvied out to his people is going to become their inheritance. And they are going to subdue it for his sake. And right now, he's subduing a land in us to bring us into the kind of righteousness of that culture, to be that kind of people. Well, I don't want to take a lot of time tonight. It gets boring pretty quick just listening to a video. So I want to read some verses. I'm not going to comment a lot on them, but I'm going to come over and I'm going to ask you to think about Christ as your Redeemer. You as Ruth, or maybe even you as Naomi. Maybe you're the bitter one, or maybe you're the young one who has lost a husband, and Jesus comes to us. This is very deep in the New Testament. And once you understand what it means, the hesed, the next of kin coming, when God uses that word redeem, it adds a familial aspect to it. Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. This is what they announced. A Redeemer is coming. A next of kin is coming, who is going to reach out to you and speak to your heart. And he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He will save us from our enemies and from all who hate us. And he will perform, listen to this, the mercy that he promised to our fathers. God promised that he would be merciful to the people of God. He also promised that there would be always a kinsman redeemer, and that is Christ. Christ is coming as your heavenly Boaz. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Again, we are going to receive the promise of the Spirit. The blessing is coming on us because Christ has come to what? Be our next of kin, to be the one who redeems us out of all of our trouble. Titus 2 tells us that the grace of God, verse 11, has appeared, teaching us how to live in this present world, and that we should look for the blessed hope and the appearing of Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Part of the bondage that we lived in before was iniquity. And then he purifies us unto himself, a unique people, who now live according to this new community. Then he tells Titus in this same scripture, this is what you need to tell people about. You have a heavenly Redeemer who has come and taught you how to live in the land as you should, and has set you free from the power of the enemy. Hebrews 9:12 tells us this didn't happen by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the blood of Jesus. It's not just a Boaz that has made a decision to receive us. It's a heavenly Boaz who is willing to pay the greatest price so that he could redeem us out of all of our troubles. 1 Peter 1:18 says, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from vain conversation, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. Slain before the foundation of the world, your heavenly next of kin, Jesus, has always existed. And he knew the trouble that you would get into. He knew what Moab would do to you. Yet he has waited patiently in Israel until the famine has passed and you've returned to the field, and he's allowed you to glean the corners. He's told his young men to drop some extra for you, and he wants to fill your apron with barley so you and your mother-in-law can eat. Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive again the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. This story of Ruth is the story of eternity played out at one period of history. But it's the meta narrative of all that's within time. There has always been a kinsman redeemer there waiting to save you out of all of your troubles. And it's based, yes, in Hesed, loving kindness, but also in this cultural mandate that God's people would be a redeeming people, that we would take responsibility for our brethren, and our hope would be that they would come into their inheritance. Let's all hope for each other, but let's all rest with our hope in Christ, that he is looking on our hearts, that he is being faithful to what God called his people to do, so that we, like Naomi, can be fruitful in our old age. God bless you. Contemplate Jesus. Oh, by the way, I sent a third video. It's probably finishing up right now. It is going to be a special blessing. Make sure you listen to that. God bless you.